Hey there, thanks for joining me today on Wonderful World. And I am looking forward to once again spending some time with you. And thank you for all your support and your help. If you like what we're doing here, and you could go to patreon.com/life180 and support what we're doing as far as the podcast and leadership. And really just trying to get a good message out. I believe that in this time, like any time, we always say stuff like that, like this time right now. Every time, every moment needs some positive words spoken, and that's what I want to be through Wonderful World, because I do believe that God created a wonderful world, and I understand the fall of man and everything that Scripture teaches from that, but I also understand that there is a redemption plan that was accomplished by Jesus. And so I just want us to see the good of Christ in this world and how we can make it better and how we can really establish a wonderful world. So I'm looking forward to today, because we're going to talk about something that is very needed at this time. We're going to talk about the old statement, agree to disagree. And some people say that's a cop-out, but I want to challenge that today, because I believe we have to learn to agree to disagree. And thankfully, there's a couple people that I pulled up an article that are, they're PhDs, so they're a lot smarter than I am. But I think that they share some words that would help us in learning to agree to disagree. So think about our world right now. Divided doesn't even begin to describe it. It's divided along political lines. It's divided along, unfortunately, racial lines. It's divided along opinions on the coronavirus, opinions on what we should be doing in public, what we shouldn't be doing. It has just become everybody fighting for their opinion. Now, here's the deal. We are all entitled to an opinion, because we as humans have the right to have an opinion. That doesn't mean my opinion is always right, and I don't think we should have an opinion if it's misinformed, but we still have opinions. So what do we do when someone else's opinion does not coincide with mine, and yet they seem to have logical arguments? So let me give you a long theological lines. There are good people on different sides of theological issues that disagree, and they're good people. Both of them are very good people, but because they look at Scripture, or they look at a certain thing that is said in life, they come at it from a different point of view. And so what we want to do too many times is demonize the other side and say, well, you know, what they believe is wrong, and we want to make it more evil than it actually is, when it's really just a different opinion. I'm talking stuff that's not just clearly defined, those kind of gray issues. And so what we have to learn to do is look at those gray issues and say, okay, do I agree or disagree? And is it okay, number one, for somebody to disagree with me? And number two, is it okay for me to disagree with somebody else, and how do I deal with that? So let's get into that a little bit today. And I want you to, we're going to talk about, this is going to hit some marriage issues and some relational issues, but I want you to look at it in the broader sense of society, because I believe that describes it as well. So I have an article here from patch.com called Agree to Disagree. Hal Green. Hal Green's a PhD. They call him a community contributor. And so this is a very recent article, June 17th. So I'm recording this on, my goodness, what's today? The 20th. And so this is just written a few days ago, but it's timely. He starts off the article, relationships work better when people agree to disagree. It's not that difficult to do this, yet many persons have not done so. I would agree with him. How boring it would be if people agreed on everything. I mean, could you imagine? I mean, you think about sports for a second, okay? Athletics. We have our teams that we like, and we love to banter back and forth. I have good friends that banter. Having been an Alabama Crimson Tide football fan in the state of Georgia, boy, I've had disagreements. Now, I can agree to disagree with you on who's the best team, and we can go back and forth. But can you imagine a world where everybody just cheered for the same team? There would be no point of even having competition. So we can have disagreements. Hopefully some of you just didn't cut everything off when I said I'm an Alabama Crimson Tide fan, like hanging up on that. Remember, we're talking about agree to disagree. I love you. You love me. Okay, Barney? All right? We're supposed to get along. Yes, and you can even use scripture, love your enemies. All right? So if I'm your enemy now because of that. But he goes on to say that marital research indicates that one of the most significant characteristics of a successful marriage is that the couple has agreed to disagree while still respecting each other's viewpoint. There we go. Here's the key. I can disagree with you, but respect your viewpoint. Respect that you have a right to have an opinion, and that it is okay for you to have that opinion. And it's crazy that we even have to say that. The article goes on to say disagreements can be handled in three ways. Three ways. We can capitulate, coexist, or compromise. Capitulate, coexist, or compromise. So we can either have a time to give in, a time to live and let live, or a time to find a mutually satisfactory alternative. And that's where that compromise comes in. He gives an example. So the couple wants to go to a movie, and we all know this happens. They want to go, and they start deciding which movie to see. You know, one of them wants to go see an adventure film, and the other a romance. Almost just stereotyped right there. He wants to go see the adventure film. She wants to go see the romance. That's probably true. Now, one of them could give in and say, okay, you know, we'll go to the romance or we'll go to the adventure film. I don't really care for those necessarily, but you know what? I know you like those, so we'll go to that, you know. And then they could say, and next week we'll go to the other one. Okay, that's one way of capitulating, compromising, one way of working together. In those things. Or they could, and I don't really recommend this, and we'll talk about it in just a second. They could say, well, I'll tell you what, let's go to the theater. You go watch your movie, I'll go watch my movie, and when the movie's over, we'll get back together. Or they could just say, you know what, since we can't decide which one, let's go to a completely different movie. We're going to go watch a comedy, which I don't know if there's a lot of good comedies out there anymore. You know, that's opinion. You don't have to agree with that, or just, you can disagree with that. But the problem arises if a single option starts predominating that relationship. So the article, he says, if we feel that we're mostly capitulating to the other, we likely also feel resentful and that we lack power. And if we've not told the other about our feelings, the other may simply be assuming that we do what we do for reasons of enjoyment rather than for giving in to get along. And I think the thing that we have to see there is we have to learn to vocalize our opinions. And we have to allow other people to vocalize their opinions and listen and still respect it, even if we completely disagree with it. So in Scripture, Paul and Barnabas went on a missionary journey, and it was successful. Everything was great. But in that missionary journey, they had taken along Barnabas' nephew, John Mark. And John Mark left halfway during, and he's like, nope, going head back home. So when they got ready to go, Paul said, hey, let's go on another journey. Barnabas said, great, I'll tell John Mark. He's like, why are you telling John Mark? He said, he wants to go with us. He's like, you remember what happened last time? And they got in the, and it actually, huge contention, and it ended up dividing them. Paul went one way with Silas. Barnabas went with John Mark another way, and divided. Now, eventually we see in Scripture they're coming back together, but there's differences. Good people have different opinions. Good people have disagreements. And so just take courage from that and know that, but you can still respect the other one when you disagree. The article says, if we don't tell another, how are they supposed to know? If we don't tell somebody, hey, you know, I really can't stand adventure movies. You know, I know where I'm dumbing this down a little bit, and the article is too, but I really don't like that. Well, how are they supposed to know? We have to learn to open up. And if the other has been assuming that we did like the options this person chose for both of us, how can we blame that one for not being a mind reader? You know, I mean, all they know is, wow, they really like adventure movies. So it's one of those things, you know, how could you not know that I didn't like that? See, that's where the point comes. There has to be talk. You have to converse and work together. While it is healthy to have interest apart as well as interest together, too much separateness means too little sharing, and too little sharing means too little caring. So, yeah, you could go to separate theaters, but, you know, and so if I could bring a cultural issue into this right now, in America, on Sunday morning, this has been said for years, is the most segregated time in American history on Sunday mornings because we have what we call black churches and white churches, and when really there was only one church, the one Jesus died for, and we said, hey, you go over there and do your thing. We'll go over here and do ours, and you know, and then we'll get back together after we'll see each other at the restaurant. Now, we all know that some of the white churches are at the restaurant way earlier than the others, all right? You know, and that's based on denomination too, right? you know, I was told by somebody one day, you Baptists are always a little later, but I'm like, man, we're not as late as the Pentecostals, you know? So, you see, and by the way, we could even put denominations into this, you know? Well, we do this, so we do that, and we're just dividing. We're constantly dividing ourselves. And when you completely keep dividing, you're not sharing. And when you're not sharing, as he says in the article, the lack of caring and compassion takes place. So you can see how this becomes as we've used this word a lot lately, a systemic issue. A life of compromise too easily becomes a compromised life. And you got to let that sink in. Remember, this guy's a PhD, so they say things like that. A life of compromise too easily becomes a compromised life. You're not really living the life that you were meant to live if you're constantly compromising and not talking and not working together with people. He says at the end of the article, the key is mutual satisfaction, that both see themselves and the other as giving and getting to a satisfactory extent. Actual proportion is less important than mutual satisfaction. So I should be concerned with you being heard. So instead of saying, I want to be heard, which is usually the way we approach things, we use just the opposite. We say, no. We say, I want to be heard. Instead, I'm going to say, no, I want to hear you. And I know I struggle with that. I think all of us struggle with that. But if we stopped and just started saying to people, I would like to hear what you have to say, how incredibly that would mature things. So years ago, my wife and I went to a marriage conference. Now, I have to tell you the backstory. The reason we went to this marriage conference is because it was free. It was right around her birthday, and I don't remember what year it was. It was in the mid-2000s or somewhere like that. But I got this thing in the mail, and pastors and their wives could go to this conference for free. It was a two-day conference, and you could go for free. And I thought, you know what? This will be an opportunity for us to get away for her birthday anyway. We'll go. It was near Atlanta, and we'll go and we'll get away. And this will be great. I'll be honest, I was more looking forward just to getting away with her. Our children were small at the time, and so just having time away like that was unique. And we were only going to stay over a night, or I don't know if we stayed two nights. I think we may have just stayed one night. But we were just going to get away for a couple days. And it was free, and I really wasn't thinking much about the conference. But we went to this conference. It was called Love and Respect by a man named Emerson Eggerich, once again, PhD. And he started this conference, and I'm telling you, I sat there just like he was talking straight to me. And it was so incredibly powerful as he was explaining, guys, you don't see your wife the way she, you know, needs to be seen. And ladies, you don't, you know, and he was going back and forth. And it was the most powerful 2 days of something I said. I mean, at the end, I was just longing to hear what was going to be said next. But he talks about, and to give you the premise of it, he talks about how men and women are different. Now, we all know that, but I don't think we really grasp how different, and by how, I don't mean how dramatically different. I'm talking about how, what actually makes us different. And so he says says often in his talks that that wives need to feel love, that women need to feel love, and that men need to feel respect. Now, that doesn't mean that women don't need respect and men don't need love. That's not what he's saying, and if you'd have to listen to the whole thing. But he talks about Ephesians 5:33, talks about husbands loving their wives. Okay, husbands, love your wives. And that wives look to be loved. Love colors what they see, that she sees the presence of love. I'm reading from one of his articles. He says, in fact, if your husband does several things that feel unloving, you might say to him as you walk to the car from the parent-teacher meeting, why don't you ever hold my hand? You only need me for one thing. I'm sick and tired of the lack of romance. So she has assumed something about him based on how she sees things. So the husband then counters, where is that coming from? This is unbelievable. I don't deserve this disrespect. So when he counters with that, she discounts this as further evidence that he's clueless, insensitive, and egotistical. And all the women just said, amen. But could it be that your husband looks through different colored sunglasses? Could it be he's wrong? He's not wrong. Could it be he's not wrong? Just different. And I have used that phrase so many times since then. Not wrong, just different. When my wife does things that I don't necessarily understand, I have to come back to that not wrong, just different. And in the same way, when people in society do things different than I do, that doesn't mean it's necessarily wrong. It's just different. I wouldn't do things that way, but that doesn't mean it's wrong. And there's, like, can I simplify this in a really, I say practical all the time. There are people that are really upset that other people put ketchup on a hot dog. I mean, that really bothers them. I will tell you the thing that bothers me. It's ketchup on a Chick-fil-A sandwich. I don't know why that bothers me so much. It shouldn't bother me that much. As a matter of fact, I don't think either you need nothing on it or just mayonnaise. You don't need all the other stuff. But my kids have put ketchup on hot dogs and ketchup. And there are people like, oh, that's horrible. That's the wrong way to eat it. Okay, it's different, but not wrong. You see how silly we can be with things that are different than the way we look at them. And we have to really, I mean, so is this, now obviously ketchup on a hot dog is not anything like marriage. But what happens is, as I said, could it be that your husband looked, or the article said, could it be that your husband looks through different colored sunglasses? Could it be he's not wrong, just different? And as a husband, you notice matters of honor, he says. So the woman noticed matters of love. Ephesians 5:33 commands the wives to respect their husbands. Just like wives need to feel love, husbands need to feel respected. Husbands look to be respected, and respect colors what husbands see. So love colors what the wife sees. So you see, we're talking about marriage, but broaden this into so many issues. So it gives an example. A wife needs to feel loved for who she is. A husband needs to feel respected for who he is. A husband has two choices. He can either condemn his wife for her pink lenses, as Emerson always uses, or he can appreciate God's design of her pink outlook. Wow, she sees things different than I do. I will tell you, over the years, my wife has seen things that I could not see through the lenses that I have, and it opened my eyes. It's almost like we have a color blindness to certain things in other people's lives. And I think that is true for so many areas because of their past, because of their circumstances, because of what they've been through, because of their experience. They see things different than I do. And from my perspective, I'm like, how in the world do you see it that way? But they have experienced things that I haven't experienced. And so I'm able to listen and learn. He goes on the article and he talks about some more. A husband has either two choices: condemn his wife for pink lenses, appreciate God's line of her pink outlook. And I might add, if he seeks to see through her pink lenses, she tends to engage him on his blue perspective. If he is sensitive to her need for love, he can appeal to her to soften her disrespectful actions. When I start seeing things from somebody else's point of view and I give them the time to tell me what they feel, to know what they feel, they in turn say, okay, you took the time to see that. Now I want to see things from your point of view. And that's where that mutual respect in our last article comes in. I don't have to agree with you, but I can listen to you. And I don't have to agree with you, but I can say you have that right to an opinion and you have an informed opinion on your perspective and we can still get along. We can still be brothers and sisters. We can still come together and we don't have to put a label on any of this. We just have a difference. Now, he goes on to say, a wife can either judge her husband's blue lenses as stupid, you know. And by the way, we do that with people's opinions a lot of times. Well, that's just dumb. Well, they may think your opinion's dumb. But that's their perspective. Or she can thank God for his design of this man. If she seeks to see through his blue lenses, he tends to respond to her pink perspective. If she is aware of his maleness, she can appeal to him to be tender in his reaction. So he asked this question, and this is the question I want you to ask about everything that you are seeing on the news, everything that you're seeing about social issues that are going on. Who is right and who is wrong? Because I think a lot of times that's what we're trying to answer, because we live in a very right-wrong world. And what if it is, it's not about right and wrong? A husband is right, he gives in this article, when needing to feel respected. He's wrong when reacting in unloving ways. A wife is right when needing to feel loved. She's wrong when reacting in disrespectful ways. In the same way, when we ask our society who is right and who is wrong, it's not about who is right and who is wrong. It's about, do I respect that person's opinion, and do I love them whether I agree with their opinion or not? As a matter of fact, Jesus said to love your enemies, even when they are quote-unquote wrong, even when what they're doing is absolutely wrong, can I still love them? And that's the way we should be doing. That is the command that we have. It was twisted, Jesus says in Matthew 5, it was twisted. You've heard it was said of old, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. Jesus never said to hate your enemy. God never condoned that. But that's the way it became termed, because it has to be pink or blue. It has to be one way or the other. And that's exactly what's happening here. Jesus says, no. I want you to love your neighbor. That's easy, but love your enemy. Love somebody you absolutely disagree with. And love somebody that may be absolutely wrong, but you can still love them anyway. Let me give you kind of the last, this is the last paragraph of that article. A beautiful discovery a couple can make is this. My spouse is not wrong, just different. Pink is not wrong for being pink. It's just different from blue. Blue is not wrong for being blue. It's just different from pink. I mean, that's what we have to see, pink and blue. Is pink wrong? No, it's pink. Is blue wrong? No, it's blue. And let's get over our differences. Let's get over the things that we fight against. And when we talk about this from a scriptural standpoint, Paul was one of those things, he confronted things, he confronted Peter face-to-face, we have in one scripture, because he saw things like, well, this shouldn't be like this. You're choosing sides here. And this is what we have to start doing, instead of constantly trying to choose which side we're on. So let me give you, when election comes, it's red or blue, right? When marriage, it's pink or blue. Unfortunately, because of race in our society, there's been black and white. Now, what about the brown? What about the other colors? What about, we're trying to divide everything across specific lines. When the other person's not wrong, just different. Their culture may be different than your culture. Not wrong. They may approach things in a completely different way. They may have a total set of experiences that are different than yours that have shaped their opinion. So my encouragement to you today is to back up and say, wait a minute. Okay. Instead of living in this right or wrong culture, I'm really going to just start looking at how people are and just love them for who they are. And if I disagree with their opinion, I'm going to let them vocalize that opinion. I'm going to be able to vocalize mine back. It's not going to start an argument, but it's instead going to start a conversation. So I am kind of working towards something, a proponent of sitting down at tables. And I know it's kind of crippled. I came into 2020, and my goal, and I was doing this, was going to doing my work when I had stuff to do on a laptop or something, going to a public place to do it. could be a restaurant, could be a coffee place, although I don't drink coffee, so that was always awkward. But going to places like that, see, I just created enemies right there. See, that's my opinion. I don't like coffee, and some of you are just freaking out, okay? But I decided to go to places like that just so I can meet people and talk to people. And so I have this thing that I think we ought to, maybe as we kind of filter through all the stuff that's going on in our society, where we can get around tables and have a meal together and talk about issues that we disagree with and not feel like everybody has to bow down to the same issue, but say, give opinions and state those things. As I stated last week, social media is not that avenue. It is not that avenue. It is face-to-face, across the table. You're eating my food. I'm eating your food. You like it spicy. I don't. And we can talk about things and come to some agreement on in areas like that. Man, it would do incredibly powerful things. Incredibly powerful things. So take that today. Perhaps your neighbor's not wrong. They're just different. They're not wrong, just different. And somebody tells you that you're wrong about something, it may just be different in their opinion. So see it that way. They may not understand your perspective. And that would completely just revolutionize that. I go back to one of the very first things I talked about. You know, we can agree to disagree while still respecting each other's viewpoint. So take that away today. I can agree to disagree, and I can watch it change. You see, the song says, I think to myself, what a wonderful world. There has to be thinking, and we've lost the art of logical thinking. And I'm working on a podcast just about thinking and thinking logically and thinking clearly. But that is the point. I think to myself, what a wonderful world. Let us change that perspective. Hey, thanks for joining me today. I'm really glad that you're a part and that you connected, and I hope you are helped. And we'll get back together next week. Thank you for your support and everything else, and I hope God's blessings on you. So hang in there and love one another.